Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
My life is in shambles as I am organizing this table to record.
I feel like it would be more appropriate if it was My Life is in Ruins, that Nina Vardalos.
Nia Vardalos film,
which was a film.
My Life in Ruins, wasn't it? It was one of her many follow-ups to My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Right.
I prefer Connie and Carla.
Which I have not seen.
Okay. I have made a promise to myself that I am not going to judge people for the things they have not seen, read,
people,
or whatever.
People subtext Michael Ryan.
And that I'm going to replace it with, what a gift you have waiting for you.
Right.
Right? But when it comes to Connie and Carla, blasphemy. Okay, this is a film that must be seen.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to have to change this for you.
Okay.
However, it's like, I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
Right.
And like finding DVDs of it is really hard right now.
I'm sure.
So.
In this economy.
If somebody has it on DVD and wants to send it our way, right. You know, please feel free.
Right. Welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. What are we talking about this week on Trail Mix, Dusty?
Well, if you're listening today, which is the day this comes out, it is Christmas Eve.
It is Christmas Eve.
Yes.
So
happy holidays, everybody.
From Gaze at the National Park.
If Christmas is something you celebrate,
right.
Or if Hanukkah is something you were celebrating,
right.
Or if you celebrate Kwanzaa or any of the other December holidays,
right.
That happen, I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Have yourself a merry little whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Put that on a t-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Today's episode is called Giving and Receiving.
Yes. And we're going to be discussing the ethics, the strategy, and everything else that comes with gift giving. Some people like really think of it as a sport. Some people get really stressed out about it. Some people get really creative with it.
Some people don't participate. Some people make like as little effort as possible.
Right. I'm doing my own thing this year.
Yes.
Right.
My mantra as of late has been saying no to others is saying yes to yourself. Technically
right.
speaking, if you did not give gifts to others, you would have more things for yourself.
You would have more cheddar for yourself.
More cheddar for yourself.
To, you know,
right.
exchange at the cheddar bank.
Mike, what is your relationship to gift giving?
So here's the thing. I really like gift giving, but in the past few years, I have just really felt the sting of December. And I've started to refer to December as a garbage monster month because it comes for us all and there seems to be no escape. So with that being said, I, for several years, was like a crazy person with gift giving. And I would do a lot of handmade gifts. And that is just like a time consuming process. And then last year, I like went full stop. I was like, I'm done. I'm sorry. This is expensive. This is ridiculous. I would rather just celebrate your birthday. I feel it's a little crazy to be an insane person to try to get gifts for people or make gifts for people for like one day of the year. It kind of turned me off last year. I've kind of like rebounded a little this year and I'm sort of doing some gift giving again. But what about yourself?
Well, that'll be $75 for this hour of therapy.
Right.
For
thank you. I know.
And
I had a lot.
Well,
you know what? I have so many close friends and family whose birthdays are right around the holidays too. So that makes life
right.
even more difficult.
I have something to say about birthdays. Now that we're on the subject of birthdays, here is my feeling about birthdays is that, now let me just say, I do love the holidays. I go all out. I'm a big gift giver. I love it. I'll talk about my obsession with gift wrapping in a minute. But when it comes to birthdays, when I grew up in Mississippi, birthdays were a lovely, special thing. And I do feel the culture around birthdays in the South is totally different than the culture around birthdays in the Northeast.
How so?
Well, when I was growing up, like, your birthday, it was, to me, my understanding of birthday was not like everyone stop and focus on me. Mm-hmm. It was like the people in your life and
everybody
all of you.
Everybody look at me, me.
Everybody.
Every episode, guys.
No. There was always like a moment in the day where you would, there would take time to like take a moment and celebrate this person. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to you. The idea of like, well, I'm not going to go to work because it's my birthday. Or I don't want to go to school. It's my birthday. Or you have to do this for me. It's my birthday. That never existed.
Right.
In any of my experience growing up in Mississippi, I moved to the Northeast and it's somebody's birthday and it's like,
Full stop.
I'm expected to like stop everything and worship you for a moment. And I'm like, I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
Here, and this is where my bitterness
is. I don't ascribe
birthdays,
to that either.
I know you don't, yeah. Which is why we're friends.
Yeah.
But here is my beef with that. Girl, everybody has a birthday. This date does not make you special. Bye.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Now, if you have reclaimed some other day in your life where you're like, you know what? This is the day that I decided to come out, or
right.
This is the day that I decided to be honest about this other thing in my life. And you want to claim that as the day to celebrate? Oh, like I am in your corner already.
Right.
I am already there. I'm already giving you a gift on this day.
Right.
But when people are like, well, for my birthday this year, I think I'm going to go to the Bahamas. Like, you're coming, right? We are not friends. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. No, I don't. Well, first of all, I don't surround myself with people who nobody in my life has ever said that to me.
Right.
And the thing is,
you cut them out.
I do not remember other people's birthdays,
right.
Because I do not care about my own.
Okay.
Like, I feel the same way. I do not think right. that everybody needs to stop right. for me. I actually can't stand
yeah.
the attention for that. Please give me attention for other things.
Yeah.
I seek attention in many ways, but not on my birthday.
Right.
I feel like I've
followed like a very similar path in the last like several years where I also just feel like when you get older, it's like, it is just another day, and it's like, it's really nice when someone does remember and like just wishes you a happy birthday, or like if there's like an unexpected gift that you're not expecting, because I don't expect much on my birthday anymore. You know what I mean? I feel like when you're in your teenage years and younger, that's when you're like, oh my God, like I got a car, or like I got a Power Wheels.
I mean, if you are privileged enough to
right.
live in a situation
right,
where that's
right.
your truth.
You're right.
Sure.
But I just feel like, getting older, it's just like, okay, whatever. It's just another day.
It is just another day. And no, my tolerance for birthday celebration, like if somebody's like, we're doing a thing at a restaurant and I want to do it, like it's super casual and it's just like an excuse to get people together. Mm-hmm. That's way more okay with me than like me getting emails about it for 5 months in a row.
Right.
Like about this one day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, goodbye. Okay, that was my diatribe about birthdays.
I know, but I feel like it opened a lot of other doorways.
It did.
Really, right now I feel like I could talk extensively about bachelorette parties and how ridiculous that culture
they
is.
They all fall into the same category.
Yeah.
You know what? Here
but
we
this
go.
Is, this does here fall under giving and receiving, though.
I want to... It does.
Yeah.
I want to reference a Whitney Cummings joke from her... one of her first stand-up specials, Emotional Ninja. She says... She goes, I'm sorry, I have to get you a gift when you get engaged, when you get married, and when you have a baby.
Right.
Why do I have to get you a gift every time you make a mistake?
Right.
No one bought me a gift when I bought a neon.
Yeah.
So, that Whitney Cummings, shout out to you, girl, because I love you.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, the wedding culture of that.
Yeah, wedding culture is ridiculous.
Let's talk about
this
wedding gifts
and receiving.
That I give. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you have a standard gift.
I have a standard gift. Everybody gets the same gift.
Cod.
Right.
Everybody, two cod wrapped in newspaper.
Everybody gets the same gift.
The smelliest gift. They know it's from Dusty.
Because I cannot stand the idea of having to put in time and energy into, like, figuring out, well, first of all, if you register for gifts, ugh, like I get why people do it and I understand, like, I'm not judging anybody for doing that, but I mean, there's already not thoughtfulness anymore.
Right.
One. Two, I also, like, I don't feel like, now I'm going to reference Chelsea Handler, who makes a joke about
this,
who
says, lady comics,
I don't really care to go in with a friend on a pillowcase as a gift at a wedding.
Right.
So I give Home Depot gift cards.
Right.
Shout out to Home Depot.
HD. No, I just feel like with the culture of registries too, I also feel like we've had a few friends get married in the last few years. I feel like the registries were pretty small, because this kind of goes along with why I was put a full stop to gift giving last year. It's like, at this point in our lives, what do we need that we cannot buy ourselves? And so it's like, and money is just ridiculous to just like exchange back and forth.
Do you really need it at all?
Right. Do you really need it at all? So I think that, you know, that also is something to be said. It's like, you're an adult, you can get whatever you want, sort of thing. Right.
So this leads me to my deep appreciation for your handmade gifts.
Mm.
You, as we have said many times, Mike is an artist. All of his artwork is on our Instagram at Gaze of the National Parks. But you do many things. You are a painter. You are a sculptor. You are like
a ceramicist.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A ceramicist?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's a drag name waiting to happen somehow.
Ceramicist.
Ceramicist. Well, I think her name would be like Ceramicist.
Right. Ceramicist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do woodworking.
Yeah. And you also like sketch and draw with pencil and, you know.
Design.
You
everything.
Also do paper cutting.
Yep, I do.
And as your friend, I benefit from all of this.
Yes, you do.
I have... What is this called?
A hamsa.
I have a hamsa that you created for me. Also, you ceramicized the state of Mississippi for me.
Ceramicized,
as an ornament, like, but I've left it on my wall.
It sounds like, who's saying, let's get, it sounds like an Olivia Newton-John, like, workout take.
Ceramicized.
Ceramicize your
getting
life.
Ceramicized, yep. Right. You also did a paper cut of my name, my last name.
Yep.
But there is one.
I made you a yarn bowl.
You did? It's out there.
Yep.
There is one gift that I want to talk about, though, and I might get emotional talking about it. Last year,
this was for your birthday,
around this time, my family lost our dog. His name is Jackson, and he was a border collie mix, one of the smartest like creatures I've ever met in my life. We lost him to lymphoma. He had a very long, beautiful life, and then when this dude over here, for my birthday, you were like, I have a gift for you. And I was like, why? It's my birthday. You know, I don't care about this. And you were like, no, I have something for you. And
I think it was kind of like birthday Christmas.
It was sort
because
of
they
like,
gave you another gift that time too.
Yeah.
It was like a doubler.
It was a doubler. You gave me a pen and ink sketch of Benjamin Franklin as
David Bowie.
David Bowie, which is my favorite. But I opened this and it was a portrait, a painted portrait of my dog. And I burst into like sobbing tears. And I FaceTimed my mom and I showed it to her and she also burst into sobbing tears. Mm-hmm. So thank you. This is like a treasured item for my family. And I so deeply, deeply appreciate it.
You're welcome. Giving and receiving.
I also make some handmade gifts.
You do.
Not like you make handmade gifts, but I make, I crochet.
You do.
So I crochet scarves and blankets and hats and whatever.
Yeah, you dug yourself into a deep hole 1 year.
I did.
Of crocheting.
I did.
It was real bad.
It was real bad.
You're
I
like,
was like,
this,
I'm going to make blankets
part of this
for
gift.
Everybody. Yeah. And then I didn't realize how much time I would need. But I made you a blanket.
Yeah, that was the year of the yarn bowl blanket exchange.
That's right.
The infamous yarn bowl blanket exchange.
That's right.
Of 2017.
But it took me, I didn't have it done in time for the holidays. Like
I think you actually did have mine done, but you were like, there's these other people and they're not as important.
Yeah, no, I
and
I have
their blankets later.
I have one blanket that I've been making for my friend Tony literally for 5 years and it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what are you like Rapunzel? You
right,
know, you're
this
weaving
one stitch
right?
that
Rapunzel?
I've done. I guess what?
What's who's there? Someone that like weaves things and then undoes the weaving every night, or was that a Greek myth?
Oh, that's not Rapunzel.
That's Odysseus's wife. She's like weaving this thing.
I can't believe you thought it was Rapunzel.
That's right. I'm sorry. Listen, there was some weaving going on there, I'm pretty sure.
Her hair.
Her hair.
Like, he climbed up her hair.
No.
That's what went on.
Oh, I was thinking Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. Which is deeply problematic because, like, he literally is like, well, do this, then I'll or I won't have to marry you. Like,
right.
It's deeply horrible.
Oh, yeah. But no, I can't remember her name. Who's Odysseus's wife? What's
okay,
her name?
Okay, well, her.
Her. She's, like, weaving something, and then she's, like, at night, like, undoing it because there's all these suitors that are like, I want to marry you.
Oh.
And then she's like, when this tapestry is done, and she's, slowly undoing it at night, and then they discover it, and they're like, yo, girl.
Well,
we're having a contest right now.
When I made this blanket or endeavored to make this blanket for my friend Tony, I bought a ton of yarn. I mean, I've spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on yarn making this blanket, and it's still not done, and I still have to buy more. But I told him, I was like, by the end of this is going to be folk art. I was like, so you might as well just like get ready to just make it a tapestry.
Get
for
a
the
giant
wall.
Frame.
Seriously,
hang it in the museum of your life.
Now that we're talking about this, I want to talk about my obsession with gift wrap.
Okay.
So I love wrapping gifts. I love it so much, because to me, I'm going to quote Martha Stewart.
You are just like a veritable,
I'm
like,
here for it.
Quote website right now.
You know, you should put as much thought into the wrapping of the gift as you have done the gift that is inside.
Mm.
Now, I'm not one to give gifts to people that I don't really know, or I give gifts to people I deeply care about. I love gift wrap because I think like it's such like a great way to make something look really nice, and it's such a fun surprise when you get to open it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is an extraordinary gift wrapper, and when I was little, she used to make me practice on empty boxes before she would allow me to like wrap gifts for the family.
Christina.
Seriously. So now I have exceeded her in the sort of like gift wrap expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she would agree, but I agree.
Okay.
I think that's true.
Okay.
Just the same way that like Martha Stewart's daughter is a better cook than she is.
Oh.
Yeah. Her daughter had a show for like a short period of time, and
okay.
I really liked her.
All right.
But anyway, so.
And the opposite of Mr. Dusty over here with his fabulous gift wrap is me, who's like, I think gift wrap is stupid. I think it's wasteful. I just want to like hand you the thing that I got you.
Which
the
is
end.
Why sometimes I will wrap gifts for you. Right? Haven't I done that before?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
That's other people. That's people in my. And co-workers of mine who are like,
I mean, you do a beautiful
do this,
job.
And I'm like, just give it to me and I'll wrap it for you.
Listen, I think it's beautiful. You do a beautiful job with it. But I also just think it's like a waste of money. And it's
I just
wasteful.
Think like it's
yeah,
wasteful
true.
And it's
listen,
a waste.
This
and blah,
is how
blah,
I
blah.
Feel.
Listen, I get it. You know what? I am really green in many other parts of my life, but not this one.
Right.
Now, let me say this. Because I love gift wrap so much, I have gift wrapping themes each year.
You do.
And here are some famous gift wrapping themes I have done, mm-hmm. like in of the past.
Mm-hmm. We have a coffee table book ready.
Oh,
for
we
this.
Do
yeah.
easily. So
Dusty's
the
gift
first
wrappings.
Year I ever did it, the theme was called "It's Raining Gold Again,"
mm-hmm.
because so every year the theme of my gift wrap is connected to something I did that year that I was important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that year I had worked on a project with these kids who had created this song, It's Raining Gold Again, about this princess who had golden hair, and when it would rain,
Rapunzel.
Kind of, but not exactly. They wanted to make this sort of story about this, whenever this princess was around, it would rain gold. And they were like 5 and 6 mm-hmm. years old, and I told them they had to explain the science to me of how that worked, and then they could include it in the play. And they were like, well, if she's in an area, then it rains and her hair gets wet and then the gold gets evaporated into the sky and then it will rain gold back down again as part of the water cycle.
Wow.
And then I was like, okay, great. Then you can include this in the play.
Hmm.
Proof. Dramaturgical research.
Yeah, dramaturgical.
The other themes I've had in the past are Christmas in the Colonies.
Mm-hmm.
I did a very sort of old, like colonial gift mm-hmm. wrap inspiration. I also did the year. Oh, 1 year I did like an, I found this gorgeous floral paper. So I did a whole thing about, Ophelia was my theme. Mm-hmm. And she has this speech about flowers, like toward the end of Hamlet before she runs off and throws herself off of a bridge. So I did this whole like Ophelia thing.
Yeah.
And as part of my gift wrap, there's always a part of it you can take off of it and turn into an ornament for your tree.
I have that piece hanging up.
Yes,
remember, what is it, Rosemary? There was a quote about Rosemary.
Yeah, there was about Rosemary.
You should know it.
I don't remember it right now.
Pray you remember, something like that.
Yes.
This is Rosemary, pray you remember.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that.
A lot of the other quotes from Ophelia in that monologue are like, I would give you lilacs, but they all died when my father died. And it's like, it's really deeply tragic, that whole monologue. Anyway, so, but that was like the most uplifting one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's that. And then the year that I was in Scotland, I did a celebration of the Scottish tartan. Mm-hmm. So everything was just plaid.
I have that ornament on my tree.
Yeah. Then, and I did like, and then that year, like always the ornament is always the tag, like
right.
the tag to let me know who the gift is to and from is always an ornament and somehow. And then, last year I did the Book of Kells from Ireland. And then this year, the theme is...
National Porks.
The WPA poster artwork of the national parks.
Yeah.
So, but like, for instance, I found somebody was throwing away a WPA poster calendar from last year, and they are all blown up and huge. And I was like, don't throw that away. I'll use that for my gift wrap. And then...
So only 12 people got gifts this year is what you're telling me?
Well, I don't... I can't do that. I can't do it for every single person
right.
because I also travel for Christmas. So I don't travel with all of that
stuff
to do that. So but I do it for friends, coworkers and things like that.
Yeah.
The ornament this year is a smaller version of the poster. And then on the back is all this information about the poster. And I got that because I found this book about the WPA artwork, and then I just like ripped it apart and I've turned it into ornaments.
Great. Beautiful. I look forward to our gift exchange.
Yes, I do too.
This week.
And with that, let's end this episode with a game.
Right.
Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
You've heard of Build-A-Bear. Well, we're going to build a Hallmark movie.
That's right. Well, this is a game we play on the trail sometimes where we'll pick a genre and then we're like, oh, let's write a screenplay movie for this genre.
Right. And also let's then cast it.
Right. We came up with a pretty awesome like horror film
while we were waiting
like
in line
thriller, psychological
for like
thriller
an hour and a half
at the car rental place.
Yep, at the Las Vegas airport.
That's right.
It was the only thing that
and
kept us
it
sane.
It was to very briefly summarize it. We had cast Conrad Riccamora from
How to Get Away with Murder.
And he was this like new young teacher at this new
librarian slash teacher.
Librarian, that's right. This new school that was on an island.
Right.
And it was like a boarding school.
And then there were none too, I think.
A little bit.
We both just read that. Yeah.
And you could only there was only one boat once a week or something. Yeah. And but it just like unraveled all these like secrets about the past of the school and how everybody is connected to the occult and like things like that. And he was going to be sacrificed. And
we
then,
worked
like,
on this the whole trip
we
too.
We did. Yeah. And then, we have the notes. I have them somewhere. And then at the end, like the twist was like that he was in on it the whole time and that he was like actually turned everyone else into a pawn.
Right. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was genius. And I'm like, we need to write that movie.
But now we just spoiled the ending. So thank you for that.
Well, you don't know how we got there. They don't know.
Let's talk about our Hallmark film and what we're going to do with it.
Let's do it. Okay. So when it comes to Hallmark Christmas movies, I feel like they always start with a title and then they build it off from there.
Right, right, right.
And the title is always like punny and it has the word Christmas in it somehow. Right. So what is the title of our Hallmark movie?
What is the title of our Hallmark movie?
It is gotta have the name Chris. It's gotta have the
Christmas in it.
It's gotta have Christmas and it's gotta have like some, it'll end up being a double meaning somehow.
I think Christmas Rose.
Christmas Rose.
And our main character's name is Rose.
Okay, her name is Rose.
Yeah.
I have another thought about how this title can come in later.
Okay, great.
Okay, so Christmas Rose. Central character, her name is Rose.
Her name is
She's
Rose.
She's probably played by a white woman.
Right, but most likely.
You know what? Let's do this. She is played by a fierce, strong Latina woman.
Great, I love it. Who do you have in mind?
Gina Rodriguez.
Okay.
From Jane the Virgin.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
I don't know that she would do this movie. She doesn't need to do Hallmark movies in this moment in her career.
Sure. So let's talk about plot points here.
Okay, great. So Christmas Rose. I feel like Rose is,
Is she a high powered lawyer in New York City?
No, I feel like she is slightly creative. Like rather than like a lawyer, she's in some city.
Okay.
But I feel like she's in, I feel like Rose is in like,
maybe a Californian city.
Yeah. Maybe she's in San Francisco.
And the magic of the end of this movie is that there's snow for the first time in decades.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
It's a warm weather place.
There we go. Okay, great. Perfect.
Great. Sorry, I spoiled the ending for everyone earlier.
So Christmas Rose.
Right.
Rose lives in
San Francisco,
but her family is from
somewhere in the
suburbs. Tiny little town in California.
And they're Rose farmers. Does one farm a rose?
I don't think so. No.
No. Okay.
No. But I think, I think like her grandmother owns a shop that is a Christmas shop and it's called the Christmas Rose.
Okay.
Also, I think the title is not Christmas Rose. I think it's the Christmas Rose.
Gotcha.
And so,
is it the Christmas, Rose? The Christmas Rose.
So she goes, I think her grandmother is ill, so she has to go back. Mm-hmm. And while her grandmother is like in recovery or is in the hospital, she has to now run this little tiny Christmas store.
Great.
Right. And of course, who works at the Christmas store? But
a former beau.
No. It's the neighbor boy.
Oh, okay.
They were neighbors forever, and now he works there. And he was like a little brother, but now he's like older and played by Mario Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And like gorgeous and beautiful.
Right,
and
right.
And all of those things.
Uh-huh.
And he's also just like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. Like
Right.
And they're like, oh, I was just folding these scarves. I didn't even see you there. Mm-hmm. Like it was.
I feel like he doesn't only work at the store though. I feel like he has some other like talent that he like does on the side.
Oh
like,
yeah, but
he's
it's,
got like a wood shop or something.
Right. But it's soft.
It's a slow reveal though. It's a soft talent.
It's a soft talent, meaning like he like. If he has a wood shop, it's like he makes cribs for children.
Right.
Or he like makes beds for children.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Like it's some sort of like sensitive, very kind of like soft kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the grandmother doesn't make it to the end of the movie.
No.
No, but there are all these other events that, like, her grandmother was a part of. And, right. Like, she's really learning all about what her grandmother did.
Right.
All throughout. Her grandmother's also named Rose.
So, are there some flashbacks, too, that happen?
Oh,
like,
yes.
In, like, the deep past
exactly.
of, like, older
and
Rose's
Gina
life.
Rodriguez plays young Rose.
Oh, my God.
I know, exactly. And so...
Hallmark Channel,
it's
right,
really
us
about
for the rights.
All of the, like, she has all of these... Like, all the flashbacks are about how she built the
Christmas
business
Rose.
That she now has.
Right.
And so young Rose is now, like, stepping into this, and she now has to, like, she's discovering and learning all of these things about exactly how connected this store is to this community. Oh my
gotcha.
God, I kind of want to seriously see this movie.
Right. Now, I think we just wrote a movie.
We did just write a movie. But I'm serious, like, right. All these ways that her store helps people and, like,
right.
Helps people when they mm-hmm. are, when they are in need and, like, you know, whatnot. And, she learns about all of this mm-hmm. all through this journey. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of it, like, I think she'll probably start including, like, baby cribs for sale
right.
as part in mm-hmm. the store.
In the store.
And that he
because
can come in and
she
join.
And Mario become husband and wife.
Yeah, of course they do.
Right, there's a flash forward of them, like, you know, and, like, photos on a mantle of their wedding.
Oh, well, yeah, no. Yeah. They're going to get married on Christmas
right.
in the store
right.
with everybody from
right.
the town
right.
to be there.
Right.
There has to be
and
some sort of... Now, there has to be some sort of event, like,
right.
happening in the town that she is, like, because her grandmother is in the hospital, she's responsible for, like, making happen.
It's,
and through the process of building that is that when she discovers all this about
right,
her grandmother.
Right. I think it's, like, the annual Christmas, like, market or parade that is, like, a staple of the town since it's,
staple
like...
Staple of the town.
Founding.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And then who's going to do a very special song for this movie?
Oh, who would do a very special song? I want Darlene Love to do a very special song.
Can it... Yes, Darlene. Oh, I love that. Darlene
yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would also be called The Christmas Rose.
Right. Yeah. Right. I love it.
Right. I'm here for it.
Me too.
You know what? Okay. I know I come for Hallmark movies all the time, right?
You really
but
are
like,
cutthroat.
This I think this is why people love Hallmark movies for the exact same reason that we just discovered right here in this
yep.
moment.
What a beautiful, beautiful moment we just had.
Happy holidays, everybody, from Gaze at the National Parks.
Happy holidays, guys.
This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and to hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.